Imagine a country where the national government has this massive mandate to build affordable housing, right? But they routinely have to buy the land back from their own local municipalities at a total premium.
Yeah, it's wild. It really highlights this fascinating friction point between national infrastructure goals and, well, local financial survival.
And that friction is exactly what we are unpacking in today's deep dive. We're looking at the South African Department of Human Settlements 2025 to 2030 strategic plan.
Right, trying to figure out how a government actually plans to provide housing and security for millions while fighting, severe budget cuts, rapid urbanization, and extreme climate change.
Okay, so let's unpack this. The sheer demographics alone are like a total pressure cooker. We're looking at a population projected to hit 67.38 million by 2029.
With unemployment stuck at a very stubborn 33.5%.
Exactly. It's like trying to build a massive extension on your house while your household income is actively shrinking.
I mean, if we connect this to the bigger picture, that economic reality creates what the sector calls the gap market.
The missing middle, right?
Yeah, the missing middle. These are citizens who earn too much to qualify for fully subsidized state housing, but they earn way too little to get a traditional mortgage.
Or they have impaired credit, right? Because the data shows lenders vastly prefer to finance homes priced well over 500,000 rand.
Precisely. You've got high interest rates and I think over 10 million credit active consumers holding impaired records. So the traditional financial architecture structurally filters these gap market earners out.
The commercial risk models just won't touch them.
Exactly. They won't accommodate them at all.
So the national government steps in. They commit in this plan to 237,000 subsidized housing units and 314,000 serviced sites.
But then they immediately hit a bureaucratic brick wall. They don't always own the ground they need to build on.
Right, wait, this part is crazy. Local municipalities are optioning off prime land to private buyers, forcing the national government to buy it back at heavily inflated prices. They're essentially getting scalped for land by their own local municipalities.
It definitely looks like scalping on the surface. But realistically, those local municipalities are just desperate for revenue to fund basic operations.
Wow.
Yeah, they option off that prime land just to stay financially afloat.
It's like a corporate headquarters giving individual branch managers the power to sell off office furniture to hit their quarterly quotas, and then HQ has to buy it all back at a premium.
Just to keep the business running. Yeah, that's exactly it.
So how do they actually stop that cycle?
Well, what's fascinating here is their regulatory mechanism. The department is rolling out a digital priority housing development area dashboard. They call it the PHSHDA.
Okay, but how does a digital map actually prevent a physical land sale?
By legally registering these zones on the dashboard, the national government places a spatial lock on the land.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, so local municipalities can no longer claim ignorance and quietly auction it off. The dashboard legally mandates a public sector right of first refusal.
Keeping the land in the pipeline for integrated communities, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But getting the land is just phase one, right?
Right. Because when it comes to actually constructing the homes, they are hitting another wall due to climate change.
Oh, definitely. The sectors are being forced to actively move away from traditional materials like cement and brick.
Because their production generates incredibly high greenhouse gas emissions.
Exactly. And they are also urgently sourcing alternative materials to phase out the corrugated iron that you predominantly see in informal settlements.
Which makes sense. I mean, replacing corrugated iron isn't just about comfort, it's a structural necessity.
Right. The thermal inefficiency of corrugated iron actively strains localized power grids when temperatures spike.
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about the grid.
Yeah, the department has to source passive cooling materials to meet their climate targets without completely overloading the power system.
But here's where it gets really interesting. It isn't just climate targets forcing their hand. It's the judicial system.
The Commando and others versus the City of Cape Town ruling.
Yeah, that court ruling fundamentally shifted the legal framework around urban planning because cities were, prioritizing long-term gentrification and social housing projects, letting the most vulnerable people facing immediate eviction slip through the cracks.
And the court stepped in and legally mandated that municipalities cannot hide behind future planning.
Exactly. They are legally required to realign their budgets to handle both long-term social housing and immediate emergency housing for those facing displacement.
It removes the whole either-or excuse for municipal budgeting. They are legally compelled to find a way to fund both, regardless of the shrinking tax base.
So it requires a complete rethink of the spatial, financial, and physical architectures we honestly just take for granted.
Absolutely. For anyone listening, whether you are in urban planning, finance, or just a resident of a growing city, this deep dive is a blueprint for how modern societies are forced to balance economic limitations with basic human rights.
It really is.
Which leaves you with a final, I think, very provocative thought to ponder. If traditional building staples like brick, cement, and corrugated iron are being aggressively phased out due to environmental pressures, what exactly will the affordable, climate-proof home of the future actually look and feel like?